in my homiletics class at New College in Edinburgh, Scotland, I learned never begin a sermon with a personal experience. Never begin a sermon without explaining in Greek and Hebrew the meaning of the text. I followed that injunction for the first 2 years of my ministry. Then I met Reverend Charles Bennett. He got his education in the U.S. Postal Service carrying the mail. And Charlie heard me preach without mentioning anything about myself, going right to the Greek and Hebrew of the word. And he said, "Can I work hard during the week? I had such a hard time staying awake during your sermon." So, following Reverend Bennett, I break all the rules. A funny thing happened to me last spring. I was in New York City, where we go occasionally. We do a house exchange. We have, as you know, a daughter and son-in-law there, and we've found a couple that have an apartment, and they have a daughter and son-in-law in the Berkeley Hills, so it works out great. I break a Berkeley ordinance when I go to New York City. And don't let this get back to Berkeley. I'll go into a Starbucks in New York. You don't do that in Berkeley because 10 years ago, Starbucks tried to invade Pete's Coffee domain. And they did it through a roundabout way. They knew that in Berkeley, they were raising a whole crop of Starbucks users who like to put whipped cream in their lattes and do all these strange things. And so now we have Starbucks. Well, I was in a Starbucks, and the couple we exchanged with, they, of course, subscribe to the New York Times. And I'm in Starbucks, and there is the New York Post. And I read it. And it has this marvelous headline. In fact, I cut out the photo that was on it. And the headline read, "Homeless Jesus Can't Find a Home." Homeless Jesus can't find a home. And that's Jesus. And the artist who sculpted this, you can see the nail wounds in his feet. It was sculpted for St. Patrick's Cathedral on Wall Street, and they refused to accept it. Another one was sculpted for the cathedral in Toronto. They refused to accept it. Neither of these churches wanted their Jesus to look like a homeless person. And yet, how appropriate it is, because in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, "The Son of God has no place to lie his head." And if you'll remember, as we read about him, he's always staying in someone else's home. He doesn't have a home. He relies on the hospitality of others. Let's keep that in mind, and then let's go back to our Advent stories. We have that wonderful account in Luke of Elizabeth, the mother of John, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the gospel writers say they're cousins. And the babe in the womb of Elizabeth jumps for joy in her womb as she sees Mary, who is also pregnant. Now, did that really happen, friends? Was there a reporter that said this is what really took place? Most biblical scholars today say no. But its importance is very much part of the story. They wrote and believed differently than we. We want a photograph. We want the exact truth. They wanted a deeper spiritual truth. One of the great legends where I grew up amongst Pomo tribes was our Mount Conocti. And it's got this big cut in the middle that goes down. The wind can go right through. The story is that a major chief took his hatchet, and because he wanted the wind to flow back and forth, he hit our big mountain, Conocti, and it has this opening so the wind goes through and back. Story is told of a young Indian who has been studying science. And he goes to his grandfather and he says, "Grandfather, did it really happen the way our legends say?" And the grandfather responds, "Grandson, I don't know how it really happened, but I do know it's true. I don't know what really happened between Elizabeth and Mary, and I'm not going to get into that debate, but I know it's true. That John came first. Jesus followed. And in the early church, there were the followers of John and there were the followers of Jesus. And they came together because both men died an early death. The latest book out called The Zealots show that both John and Jesus were part of the Zealot movement, and the Roman government did not want them around and executed them whenever they could. So John is executed by Herod. Jesus is executed by Pilate. And so we have these two people. But they were so different. And friends, they are our leaders. Wild John. He wore camel hair. And if you've ever gotten close to a camel, you know how they smell. He wore this. He ate insects, locusts. Crazy man. I see John the Baptist lots on Telegraph Avenue in Berkeley. People shouting, people wanting to have their space. And then there's Jesus. And this photo is marvelous of Jesus, homeless Jesus. He relied on other people's hospitality. And so we have wild John and homeless Jesus as our guides. And what more do we want? We want to let God be God. Leaders will be raised in our midst who are different from us. The early church had a hard time accepting Jesus and John because they wanted a more perfect leader. We're mourning the death of Nelson Mandela, 95, but we still wanted him for a while longer. And yet, what happened in Nelson's life? It was not an easy life. He went through a divorce, went through the death of his son from AIDS, and yet, through it all, wanted liberation. Liberation for his people. I want to close with a story about another homeless person, one that I got to know intimately well in my previous church, Bill O'Neill. People talked about him as Ubiquitous Bill. Bill had an old pickup covered top, and that was his home. He slept in the pickup each night. How we got to know Bill was through the fact that we had a midweek Wednesday night service. And before the service, we had a potluck. Our local deli person would provide a soup and bread, and then we would bring desserts and salads. Bill was always there for the food. We then told Bill that he, A, could not have seconds before everybody else had firsts. He understood and he accepted that. Our board of deacons did something that I was not brave enough to do. They told Bill that you can't eat and then leave. You had to stay for the worship service. So Bill would come. Bill would wait until everybody was eaten. He had eaten his first. He would look at me and I'd say yes. He would go back, get in the line, get a second helping. Local rabbi and I were talking one day, and I mentioned Bill. And the rabbi said, "Oh, I know him well. He comes every Friday night to our Sabbath dinner." Bill could follow any religious tradition. Bill also did not like homeless people, nor did he have much to do with the Berkeley scene. I, in a moment of weakness, said that he could use the church's address for his disability check. So Bill would come to the church monthly to get his check. Our church secretary got to know him quite well, and Bill would chat with her. He wouldn't chat with me, but he would with her. He'd get the disability check, and then periodically the Kensington police would come because we had an ordinance in Kensington that we did not allow disabled vehicles to stay on the street. And Bill's car was always developing a flat tire or a dead battery. And so we were always there to help Bill fix his car to be able to move it a distance, and Bill appreciated it, would tell us he appreciated it, but he would realize that we were an easy touch. So between the Jews and the Christians in North Berkeley area, Bill was well served. And then one day, Bill's car again broke down. It was on a steep incline. And Bill was underneath it, fixing it, as he would oftentimes do. The brake went off. It ran over Bill. And it killed him. I went to the rabbi. And I said, we have to have a memorial service. And our church secretary, who had really gotten to know Bill extremely well, said, Ken, I would like to do the service. The rabbi and I said, fine, go ahead. And she began with these words from the Gospel of Matthew. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And we said, Lord, when did we ever see you sick or naked? And Jesus said, when you have done it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. The rabbi and I sat and held hands, and we cried. We had Christ in our midst, in ubiquitous Bill. This photo that St. Patrick's Cathedral refused of Jesus as a homeless person lying on a bench is Christ. Christ unrecognized. I am so pleased to be your interim pastor because of what you do for others. Feeding children in Mexico. Having all of your events concerned about others. That's what Advent is all about. And that's why I invite you to put the homeless Christ on your billboard or on your refrigerator to remind you of all that he has been. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for wild John and homeless Jesus. Help us to be able to listen to people who rant like John and who require things from us like Jesus. Be with us now in this moment of silence as we reflect upon these personalities and our life. Let us be in silence.